From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up,
over and over again, the testimony of the Attorney General of the United States.
That was House Speaker Nancy Pelosi speaking earlier today, discussing yesterday's Senate hearing with Attorney General William Barr. Pelosi went on to say that Barr should be charged with a crime. Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn was in the Senate committee hearing yesterday as a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee. If there was a crime, then she must have been at the crime scene. I'll ask her about it in just a moment. And the president announcing another protection for religious freedom and the rights of conscience. Roger Severino is the director of the Office of Civil Rights at the Department of Health and Human Services. He joins me later. Also, today is a National Day of Prayer. There was an event at the White House earlier today, which I attended. I'll talk more about that with Mercedes Schlapp, assistant to the president. I'll also talk with Dr. Ronnie Floyd, president of the National Day of Prayer, about tonight's event that will take place at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time in Statuary Hall at the Capitol. I'll be there to pray for the persecuted, and you can be there too. I'll tell you how a little bit later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, no doubt if you've watched any of the news or read any papers, you've heard about the fireworks that erupted yesterday as the Attorney General William Barr testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee about the Mueller report. Listen to this exchange between Democratic Senator Dick Blumenthal of Connecticut and Attorney General Barr when the senator asked Barr to offer more detail about the conversation he had with Mueller after learning that the special counsel had taken issue with Barr's overview.
His complaint to you is about your characterization of the report. The letter speaks for itself. This letter was an extraordinary act, a career prosecutor rebuking the Attorney General of the United States, memorializing in writing. I know of no other instance of that happening.
I don't consider Bob at this stage a career prosecutor. He's had a career as a prosecutor.
Well, he was a very eminent prosecutor.
He was the head of the FBI for 12 years.
He's a career law enforcement professional.
But he was also a political appointee, and he was a political appointee with me at the Department of Justice. The letter's a bit snitty, and I think it was probably written by one of his staff people.
Did you make a memorandum of your conversation?
Huh?
Did you make a memorandum?
No, I didn't.
Or did anyone else?
What?
Did anyone, either you or anyone on your staff, memorialize your conversation with Robert Mueller?
Yes.
Who did that?
There were notes taken of the call.
May we have those notes?
No.
Why not?
Why should you have them?
Here's a little bit more about what Nancy Pelosi had to say this morning about yesterday's hearing.
The Attorney General of the United States of America was not telling the truth to the Congress of the United States. That's a crime.
Well, joining me now to offer her analysis is Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, who serves on the Judiciary Committee in the Senate and was in the hearing yesterday. Senator Blackburn, welcome back to Washington Watch.
It is so good to be with you. Thanks so much for having me back on, Tony, and thank you for taking time to recognize this as our National Day of Prayer.
Well, we're looking forward to it. We had a great event at the White House earlier today and looking forward to the one at the Capitol tonight. But I first want to talk about this crime scene that Nancy Pelosi described in the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday.
I have to tell you, it was really something quite remarkable because everyone accepts Bob Mueller's report. It is out there. If they have been listening, if they have been reading, they will see that there is no obstruction or collusion or coordination or conspiracy. And this is just a continuation of the Democrats' efforts to try to say Donald Trump should never have won that race. And during my questioning, I turned the attention to the fact that this is a complete investigation by 19 attorneys, 22 months, over $25 million, and millions of pages of records, and they found nothing. And yet they continue to go back in there and say there's got to be something there. But what it points out is that there is a culture of a clique there within the FBI, and that is a rotten to the core culture. This is a group of people that thought they knew more than everybody else. They knew how to manipulate the law, even though they are sworn to uphold the law. And so they set out on the path that they thought they could do this and nobody would ever find out. And guess what? People found out, and now the American people are learning a whole lot about these people that carried out this. Maybe that's where the crime and the wrongdoing is, because after all this time and money, it was not Donald Trump and the Trump campaign.
Well, Senator Blackburn, the Democratic members of the Senate Judiciary Committee had the opportunity to question the Attorney General, did they not?
Oh, of course they did. But they didn't want to talk about the report. They didn't want to talk about Russian interference. What they wanted to talk about was Bill Barr and try to discredit him when he is there talking about the report that the special counsel turned over. So I will tell you this. Senator Graham said today, we are done with Bob Mueller and this report. We are moving on to figure out how we got to this place in the first place. How right. did we get to this point where you have a group of people that take a political oppo research document, they misrepresent it, a FISA warrant is granted, and an American citizen and his family and their campaign are spied upon?
Well, over in the House, in the House Judiciary Committee, a little bit of theatrics today. Jerry Nadler, the chairman of New York, he wanted the attorney general to show up over there and testify, but he wanted the staff attorneys to question the attorney general, to which the attorney general said that would be inappropriate. I'm not going to do that. The justification from Chairman Nadler was that he wanted to have skilled attorneys question Attorney General Barr. So I'm just wondering, I guess he's saying that his Senate colleagues on the Democratic side of the aisle are not skilled attorneys and don't know how to ask questions?
That seems to be what he is saying, if he thinks that his members can't handle the questioning if they were focused on the root causes of the issue. If they were focused on how did we get to this point in the first place, how is it that we have this this document that ended up being used to receive a FISA warrant, then maybe they would have some. If they wanted to look at what happened with Russia and look at what happened with Twitter, where you had all of these multiple fake accounts that were set up. If you wanted to look at Facebook and the Facebook ads that were paid for by foreign entities, you know, Facebook should have known when they were being paid in rubles for ads that were being placed, that this was not something that was being done by American organizations. So the question there would be, did they willfully turn a blind eye? Is that what they did, to turn a blind eye, or did they just, were they not watching at all?
Mm-hmm. Well, could it also be, Senator Blackburn, that the reason they don't want to talk about the report, they don't want to talk about Russia anymore, they don't want to talk about this, because now that these layers are being peeled back, it is pointing to their allies. It may go back to Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party, and they what they thought was going to take down Donald Trump may, in fact, take down some of their own.
Well, and I think that is true because, Tony, you're exactly right. We have to remember every single bit of this happened on Barack Obama's watch. It happened in his DOJ with his political appointees. This did not happen with Donald Trump's appointees, but this was in the Barack Obama, Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch-led FBI DOJ.
Is there anything, in your opinion, Senator Blackburn, that will satisfy the Democrats on this? when it comes to President Trump.
It will not. There's nothing that will satisfy them on this because they are furious that they lost the 2016 election. And you've got a lot of angry people out there that are on their side and on their side of the aisle. And so, Tony, they're not going to give this up. They're going to try to carry this out until 2020.
So, Senator, when you talk about Senator Graham saying that, you know, he's finished, that we're moving on. But there are some issues here pertaining to Hillary Clinton, pertaining to Barack Obama under their watch. I think a lot of Americans want those things actually to be looked into, and those that violated the law back then under that administration held accountable. Is there a chance that we may investigate that?
Yes. And Senator Graham said today is that he has written Justice Roberts and asked him to look into the issue with the FISA court. And we anticipate that he will do that. We think we will continue to look at how the FBI, and I talked specifically to General Barr yesterday in my questioning about the culture and what is he going to do to restore trust and integrity in the culture at the FBI and DOJ. Because in Tennessee, they will tell me they feel like this should never, ever, ever happen to any other presidential candidate again, ever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, this is where they are and how they view it. And they want to figure out how it happened. How could it possibly be that this took place? And how could these individuals within the FBI have carried this out for so many months and have had all of this communication and nobody ever stepped in and said, you cannot do this. It is a breach of trust with the agency and with the American people who pay your salary. You're fired, which is exactly what they should have done.
Senator, almost out of time. Very quickly, one last question for you. As you heard from the clip earlier, Nancy Pelosi today saying that William Barr should be charged with a crime because he lied to Robert Barr, William, I'm sorry, get all these names mixed up, that he lied to Congress. Did he tell the truth or did he lie? You were there.
I was there. He told the truth. He answered every question that came to him. He stood up at the beginning of the hearing. He was sworn in, and then he proceeded with the hearing. It is just the Democrats did not like the answers they were given yesterday.
All right, Senator Marsha Blackburn, thanks so much for joining us
Tony.
Today.
Bye-bye.
All right. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, when we come back, President today at the National Day of Prayer announcing another protection for religious freedom and the rights of conscience. Roger Severino, Department of Civil Rights at the Department of Health and Human Services, is here to explain when we return here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. A lot more to come right after this.
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. In addition, there will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview, and informational sessions focused on the topics of life, religious liberty, the LGBT movement, national security, the realities of socialism, and more. On October 11th through 13th, stand with thousands of Values voters to restore our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the early bird price of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Happy birthday to you. In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, the website tonyperkins.com. All right, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Office for Civil Rights, announced today the issuance of the final conscience rule that protects individuals and healthcare entities from discrimination on the basis of their exercise of conscience, religious beliefs in HHS-funded programs. And the president made this announcement at the National Day of Prayer, and then the Office for Civil Rights put out all the details. This is essentially upholding over two dozen provisions that have been passed by Congress. So what does that mean? Well, joining me now to talk about that, Roger Severino, who is the director of the Office for Civil Rights at the Department of Health and Human Services. Roger, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
So explain to our listeners what was announced today by the president and your department.
At a beautiful Rose Garden ceremony on the National Day of Prayer, the president kept his promise to vigorously enforce our laws defending conscience and religious freedom. He issued an executive order in the beginning of his administration, and we are fulfilling that pledge with this new regulation that gives life to 25 conscience protection statutes and provisions in federal law that, for example, protect against somebody being forced to perform, pay for, refer, or have coverage for abortion. And it reminds me of the story of Kathy DiCarlo, who was a nurse who was forced to participate in the abortion of a 20-week-old child. This was a federally funded hospital. And what most people don't know is that sort of coercion violates the law. And this regulation is designed to make sure that Kathy DiCarlo's story is never repeated, that whatever one thinks about abortion, you should not be forcing others to participate in it, especially not doctors who pledge to defend life.
So, Roger, what the issue was is you had these laws on the books but no enforcement mechanism, and you didn't have administrations willing to enforce the law. In some cases, they just completely ignored the law. And so now it took a long time to go through all the process that's required, but essentially what you're doing is saying we're going to enforce the law.
Yes, it's saying that we are in business, and complaints had dried up in the previous administration, and in part because the administration was saying they were not going to take the complaints seriously. And in fact, in one instance, effectively withdrew from the field. And we have reversed that position. We have announced to the world that we will take these claims seriously. And now we have the enforcement tools that's comparable to every other civil rights law. These are basic enforcement tools that allow us to do our jobs, enforce a law that Congress has passed on a bipartisan basis since the 70s. after Roe v. Wade, Congress stood up and the American people spoke with a broad consensus saying that on issues of life, we're going to respect conscience, religious freedom, and enshrine it in law. We want to see those laws be given life, and that's what this regulation does. It doesn't go beyond the statutes. It gives the statutes the meaning that Congress gave us and the enforcement tools like every other civil right.
And Roger, I know you got to go here in just a moment, so this is my final question for you. The effect of this, from a standpoint of people out there in America who want health care services, either, and this is not just people who are involved in the services, but this actually will provide more opportunities for people to get services because they'll more likely be more providers, because now you have. You don't have to worry about being forced to do something that would violate your faith or your conscience or provide services to people.
That's absolutely right. And especially with OBGYNs, we want to make sure that everybody of conscience and religious belief is respected, that whole professions are not excluded, are not excluding pro-life people, which is what is happening in certain states, and certain accrediting bodies are trying to push it to make sure that pro-life folks cannot be medical practitioners, and that is against the law. And if there's complaints to be filed, file them, go on hhs.gov /OCR. OCR is Office for Civil Rights, and bring complaints. And you're right, this enhances diversity of healthcare because it allows people of all faiths to find practitioners that match their beliefs and allows religious hospitals to operate with the same faith that drives them to serve the poor and persons who cannot afford healthcare. We need space for everybody at the table, and this regulation goes a long way to ensuring that.
So how can that be described as a narrow view? That is the broad view. That allows everybody to participate.
Oh, of course. That's right. It allows anybody of religious belief or moral conviction it doesn't require them to shed it when they enter the healthcare field.
But it also doesn't prohibit someone who doesn't have faith and has no qualms about this. So that's,
precisely.
I mean, this is the fair approach, but yet you're criticized by the left. Roger, I know you got to go. Thanks so much for being with us.
You're very welcome, Tony. Thank you.
Folks, this is another example of the president keeping his promise. As Roger said, this goes back to the executive order that he issued at the first National Day of Prayer event. But I want you to watch now. Read the headlines tomorrow. Listen to the news. And they're going to say that this is excluding people, that this is prohibiting people from doing things. That's the opposite. In fact, all of these provisions, whether you go back, and the president made reference to this today in the Rose Garden at the prayer event, where he talked about protecting the rights of faith-based adoption agencies. When you protect the ability of individuals to operate according to their faith, you're not excluding people, you're including them. You don't have to have a faith to participate. That's not what they're saying. But they're saying that you can't be restricted from participating if you have faith or convictions. See, this allows more people to participate. This is fairness. But listen to me, watch the headlines tomorrow, listen to the news, and they'll say this is about silencing, restricting, limiting, and it is the exact opposite. And again, this administration has been keeping their promises when it comes to these issues of life and religious freedom, the courts. It's something to see. It really is. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking with Dr. Ronnie Floyd, who happens to be the president of the National Day of Prayer, soon to be the new, officially he already is, also the president of the Southern Baptist Executive Committee. This is his final year as president of the National Day of Prayer. He's going to join us to talk about tonight's event. That's taking place at Statuary Hall on Capitol Hill. I'll be there praying for the persecuted around the world. And you can join as well. We'll talk about how with Dr. Floyd when we come back. Don't go away. More to come right after this.
Grandpa Jerry, what are you doing?
What? What does it look like I'm doing? I'm sitting on this bench enjoying my tea and reading the news.
You always tell me that I need to stand firm for faith, family, and freedom. Why aren't you standing?
Well, now with this new Stand Firm app, I can sit and stand at the same time. And if you got the Stand Firm app, you could learn something besides that garbage of peddling in public schools. You could listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, where Tony and leaders on the Hill and other culture influencers weigh in on current events. You can read FRC's latest publications and articles responding to what's going on in the news, like this.
Oh.
You can play trivia and earn points for free prizes. You can even access all of FRC's publications directly to sharpen your mind and give you the ability to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
I can be a mind reader?
Kid, that's from the Bible, the richest piece of literature on God's green earth.
Can I see this stand-up? Wow, this would keep me informed. Visit frc.org/app to download FRC's Stand Firm app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
This is Washington Watch, and I'm your host, Tony Perkins, the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, as we mentioned earlier today, today is the National Day of Prayer. Events have been happening around the country today. As we talked about, there was an event at the White House. I'm going to be talking with Mercedes Schlapp a little bit later about that event. Tonight, there's an event at the Capitol in Statuary Hall. My next guest is Dr. Ronnie Floyd. He is the president of the National Day of Prayer, but just recently, last month, he was elected as new president and CEO of the Southern Baptist Convention's Executive Committee. And he has been on the program many, many times. In fact, guest hosted for me. He served for over 30 years as a senior pastor of First Baptist Church in Springdale, Arkansas, or Cross Church, I should say. In addition to writing over 20 books, he is a great friend and has done a tremendous job with the National Day of Prayer, and he joins us to talk about it. Dr. Floyd, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good afternoon, Tony. Great to talk with you.
Well, it was a great day this morning at the White House, but you've been having events, National Day of Prayer events, all day long, all around the country. How many different locations have events been occurring at?
Well, we're not really sure. We'll know until it's all over. But last year we had, I believe the estimated number was over 56,000 around the United States. Tony, you know, this has been pretty extraordinary, though. Our theme has been hashtag love one another. And then, of course, hashtag National Day of Prayer. Both of those have trended throughout the day many a times on Twitter. And, you know, it just shows, again, the influence of the National Day of Prayer across America, and it also shows people's incredible embracement of the theme, love one another.
Well, I think it also reflects an understanding that our nation, the world, is at a point of crisis. We stay at
Absolutely.
A point of crisis and prayer.
Yeah.
The president talked about it this morning. Prayer is needed. People want it.
Yes. That's right. And, you know, that's really the role of the National Day of Prayer is to mobilize unified public prayer in America. And tonight, of which you will be with us and you will be leading one of our prayers, is that we are actually going to be praying in National Statuary Hall in the U.S. Capitol, as well as proclaiming God's word and calling people to a new level of loving one another. And so it's going to be a grand event, and it's going to be a grand moment. And people can stream it live, Tony, on nationaldayofprayer.org. They can also pick it up on Facebook Live, the National Day of Prayer Facebook page. Also, it'll be shown on Daystar Christian Television throughout the world, as well as God TV. So there's a lot of opportunities for it. If people have already gone to an observance or have not gone one today, and there's not one in their city, then choose this one tonight. This will be a grand event, 7:30 to 9:30 Eastern Standard Time.
Well, Dr. Floyd, give our listeners just a little bit of an overview of what they will hear and see tonight.
Well, everything will be built on the theme, love one another, the words of Jesus in John 13:34. And the Brooklyn Tabernacle Singers will be here with me to help give us an incredible worship environment.
You're going to be singing with them?
You are too, brother. You're going to be here. We're all going to be singing. Yeah.
All right.
And so we're doing that. And then I have Sammy Rodriguez, who is going to be with us. He's going to be talking about love one another, means accepting one another. We're going to be talking with your friend, Andrew and Nori Brunson, whom you had the privilege to be with and know quite well. And they're going to be talking about love one another, calls us to pray for our persecuted brothers around the world. We're going to be talking about a lot of different things. We're going to be talking about a love one another movement around America. Just a lot of different areas of it we're going to center in. It's going to be a tremendous time together and built on the Word of God, expressed in worship, but constantly, Tony, we're going to be going into moments of prayer for our nation.
I want to get your take on, we've just got a couple minutes left, but I want to get your take today, the president hosting in the Rose Garden, a National Day of Prayer event. There was prayer there. The president, this administration upholding religious freedom, it amazes me to see what is unfolding before our very eyes, and with a backdrop of a lot of challenges and darkness, but yet there's some great things happening.
I tell you what, Tony, when I left there, I was so encouraged. As much evil as we have seen in this country, along with at times so much division and vitriolic speech, it's just amazing what we witnessed today. I mean, obviously, many people who follow the Washington Watch are believers in Jesus Christ, and thank God for that. And they would have been amazed that this happened in the Rose Garden here and Washington, D.C. The presence of God, the name of Jesus being lifted up, even worship songs about that. I mean, it was just remarkable. I mean, it was wow. It was special.
It was. Well, Dr. Floyd, I know you have a very busy day and evening, and I'm looking forward to being with you in just a little bit. So I'm going to encourage folks to tune in tonight and watch Dr. Ronnie Floyd in the Brooklyn Tab at the National Day of Prayer event. So thanks so much for joining us. See you in a bit.
Thank you, Tony. Bye-bye.
All right. Dr. Ronnie Floyd, president of the National Day of Prayer. And again, you can be a part of that, nationaldayofprayer.org, or go to tonyperkins.com. I think we're actually going to be streaming it at frc.org as well. So many, many ways in which you can participate in tonight's National Day of Prayer event. Again, that's 7:30 Eastern Time. That's Eastern Time. Okay? Don't go away. We're going to continue to talk about the National Day of Prayer. I'm going to have Mercedes Schlapp, Special Assistant to the President, is going to join me to talk more about today's event at the White House. That's next. Don't go away.
Happy birthday to you.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
paid for by Family Research Council.
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. In addition, there will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview, and informational sessions focused on the topics of life, religious liberty, the LGBT movement, national security, the realities of socialism, and more. On October 11th through 13th, stand with thousands of Values voters to restore our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the early bird price of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. As we were just talking about, the theme of this year's National Day of Prayer is Love One Another from John 13:34. And this morning, religious leaders from various faiths from really different parts of the country gathered in the Rose Garden at the White House as both the president and the vice president renewed their commitment to religious freedom in America. Now, the vice president spoke to the growing assault on people of faith as he said, quote, "No one should ever fear for their safety in a house of worship in America or anywhere in the world," end quote. Now, those words were of particular import to the rabbis sitting next to me, including Rabbi Goldstein, who was shot just 5 days ago on the final day of Passover in their synagogue in Poway, California, just outside of San Diego. It was a powerful morning, and it was an encouraging morning, quite frankly. And someone else who was there was Mercedes Schlapp. She is assistant to the president and senior advisor for strategic communications at the White House, and she joins us now. Mercedes, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It was a great morning, and as I was sitting there talking to some other pastors there, it was just remarkable. This is unprecedented, an administration that is so comfortable with and engaging in elevating the role of faith in America.
There's no question. I always say we've got this New Yorker billionaire who's now president of the United States, who served his country for over 2 years, and to see him talk about In God We Trust, to see him talk about how he has been a defender of religious liberties and is very proud of that. And I think if you caught him at one of the tail ends when he talked about the vice president and how they have gone through difficult moments in this administration and relying on God to help them through these times is, I think, so telling of a man who understands the beauty of those who live out our faiths, and also the importance of prayer in our lives. And I think that is so refreshing compared to what we've seen in the past, where we have felt that our religious liberties have been threatened.
Without question, and I know I've talked to the president about this and the vice president probably more frequently, but the president, you know, the sense I get is I think he has an understanding that the prayers that people pray for him are in part the source of that strength that he mentioned today. He was mentioning in Isaiah that they'll run and not be weary and they'll rise up on the wings of eagles. I think he understands the power of prayer as people lift him up in this demanding job that he has.
Yes, there's no question. And just being, you know, here in this building, and obviously I work very closely with Sarah Sanders, with Kellyanne Conway. And you know what you experience here every day is you do feel that it's a spiritual attack a lot of times, and I always say that you know I think the saying around here is that my office has become kind of the chapel of the West Wing, to a certain extent, where we've had people come in and pray here as well in my office, because I feel that it's so important to have the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit here, where such critical decisions are being made. And you know, I ask every day for wisdom, strength, and humility from God, and knowing that it's only when you're inspired by the Holy Spirit and focused on what you know that needs to get done that then you can produce great work for this country, because we know America is so blessed. I mean, we are so blessed as a nation. And I think that the president clearly, clearly understands that, and that's why he feels so comfortable talking about how we have to ensure that our faith-based organizations are not silenced, that those who want to practice their faith are not afraid to do so. And it's why this event today, and you were there, I mean, it was really, truly spiritual. I mean, it felt like we were in a prayer service. So many individuals from different faiths coming together to talk about the greatness of God here in the People's House. It's just one of those moments which I have to say that I'll never forget.
But the other thing that encourages me, Mercedes, about the president is that, you know, what took place today, and I haven't looked at the media yet, but I'm sure there will be those that criticize what took place in the Rose Garden, the prayers, the comments that were made, even by the president and others. But that doesn't seem to faze him. And so people, what that does is enables other people to live out their faith, because in many ways, you know, he's taking a lot of the hits by standing up and not wilting back when that criticism comes.
Yes, I mean, you're absolutely right. I think, you know, there's something to be said about when you have the First Lady, she came up and said a beautiful prayer, and the president also obviously talking about how we have to celebrate our faith leaders, celebrate this National Day of Prayer, and how important it is to remember that religion has played a special role in our nation dating back to the founding fathers. You know, I think it's, and he also talked about how he offered a prayer for the future of this wonderful land that we live in. He said, you know, we pray that this nation, these United States, will forever be strengthened by the goodness and grace and the eternal glory of God. And those are just very powerful words, because I think what we're seeing in our nation today is you get concerned about people losing faith. And you see, you know, the younger generation, many of them are following their Christian faith fervently, but there are those who have lost their way. And so I think that the essence of America is based on the fact that we were created, this nation was created based on the fact that we, you know, worship God and we believe in the importance of religious liberties. And the fact that this president has made it very clear through his administrative actions that he will continue to protect religious liberties. Obviously, today he announced that we finalized the rule on the conscience rule protecting healthcare entities and individuals to ensure that those individuals would not be discriminated against because of practicing their faith and their ability to exercise their conscience when it right. comes to these grants. And so I think that's a very, very important step in what we're doing to protect.
I think it's very important. We were talking about that earlier in the program, but this is the tangible evidence that goes along with the statements. It's the statements, the gatherings are great, and I'm very appreciative of that. But as I've told people many, many times, what I appreciate more about this administration is actually being able to come and help shape the policies that affect people's lives at a very in a very real way, and that's what this president was doing. I know our time is short here, but I was sitting next to the rabbis and spoke to Rabbi Goldstein and the others, and what they said to me is that, you know what, we must stand together against this growing intolerance and bigotry toward religious freedom and expression in this country, because they've seen it up front and close in a very ugly way. But this is growing, and the only way we stand against that is by standing up for these freedoms and exercising these freedoms, as the president is doing.
Right, and I think two of the people that were there, along with the Rabbi Goldstein, that also came from Paul Way's synagogue, was the Army veteran Oscar Stewart and the Border Patrol agent Jonathan Morales. And Oscar Stewart, he called for Americans of all faith to come together and defeat evil. I mean, we have to remember what we're up against. And what we're up against are individuals who really look at our values. They look down on us. They think that for us going to church every Sunday or going to our places of worship, that why would anyone do that? And I think that is something that is very insulting for us. And so what you do realize is that we do want to come together. There is evil that really truly exists out there, and what we want to do is good for this nation and good for all Americans.
Mercedes Lamp, thanks so much for being with us today, and just tell the president how much we appreciate him continuing to embrace and uphold people of faith all across this country, and literally, as I know, serving on the Commission on International Religious Freedom, that he and his administration are doing that for people everywhere.
Yes. Well, thank you for all the prayers, and thank you for all your work as well.
All right, Mercedes. Great to talk to you. Talk to you
Likewise,
soon.
Likewise. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mercedes Slapp with the president. She is the assistant to the president and senior advisor for strategic communications in the White House. And you can find out more about that, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And let me encourage you again to tune in tonight for the National Day of Prayer event that will be taking place at the Capitol. A number of National Day of Prayer events that have been occurring. There was a dinner last night at the White House that the president hosted for religious leaders that I was honored to be a part of. And then today at the White House in the Rose Garden, his ceremony for the National Day of Prayer. And then there will be the National Day of Prayer Task Force event, which will be held in Statuary Hall. That's what we were talking about with Dr. Floyd. That will be this evening, beginning at 7:30 Eastern time. And it will be broadcast on some Christian television networks, but I think it's also it will also be streamed live on the web. And you can find that at frc.org. We'll have it up there as well. I'll be a part of that tonight, as Andrew Brunson will be speaking, one of the speakers, and those individuals praying. And I will be praying for the persecuted church and persecuted people all around the world. So you can join us and be a part of that. I do encourage you to participate in some event. Communities around the country have events going on as well. Again, find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow the links over. Well, folks, it's a remarkable day. It just is a remarkable day. I was sitting there in the Rose Garden this morning with another pastor, and we were just discussing as Dr. Floyd mentioned earlier about the mentioning of Jesus, the singing of praise songs, the prayers that were, and it was I know some will be critical of this. It's religious freedom for America, and so there are people of different faiths there. But I was fine with that. I was fine with sitting next to some Jewish rabbis. In fact, had great conversation with them. There were Sikhs there. I talked to them, But here's what was different than what we've seen in the past. That as Christians, we were able to be Christians. We were able to pray in Jesus' name. And what was so refreshing is that we've kind of, under this administration, we've come to a point where we can actually practice our faith openly. And some people, it's kind of funny, Well, I shouldn't say funny. It's sad, but it's, I mean, it's the fact that for so long we've been hesitant because people have been critical, and they still are. And you're awful, you're almost wondering, and I have to tell you, you're thinking about this sitting there, you're almost thinking somebody's going to pull the mic, pull the cord, turn the power off, or somebody's going to come out and say, you can't do that. We're there with the President of the United States, and it's the President that's doing it. It's, I tell you, it's encouraging. Doesn't solve all our problems, but it gives us an opportunity to solve them. And as a nation, if there was ever a time we needed to pray and repent, and I appreciated my friend Ralph Reed actually prayed and brought that point out about repentance. And that's we do. We need to pray. We need to repent. We need to return as a nation. But we need to be free to openly live out our faith and share our faith. And I'm not intimidated by people of other faith living out their faith, as long as I can live out mine and share mine, because I believe the truth prevails. And that's what this administration is working to do, is allow us to live out our faith. And so, for one, I'm very appreciative of the President and his keeping his commitment when it comes to religious freedom and so many other things. And I've made very clear many times, our support is of an administration that keeps their promises. As I was asked by a reporter coming out, why do you support this President? Well, first, I just pointed to Exhibit A is what you just saw. But because it is an administration that is advancing policies that allow evangelicals and believers to live their lives according to their faith, what more could we ask for? We need to continue. We can't take our hands off. There's no coasting. We've got to continue to work to pray for, uphold, involve, speak to, hold accountable this administration, the Congress, and continue to work to make America good again, so that in fact it can be great again. So I encourage you to participate in tonight's National Day of Prayer event. Again, several ways in which you can participate in that. Nationaldayofprayer.org. There's a link at the top of tonyperkins.com. But if you're not going to another local event, join us for the National Day of Prayer event. Starts at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Make a commitment to pray for our nation. And while you're doing that, please join us in praying for persecuted people all around the world. In particular, let's pray for the persecuted church and pray that they would know they're not alone, and that this nation, just continue to pray that America would be both a source of not only hope, but of help to them. So find out how you can be a part of that. Go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, folks, coming up to the end of the hour, I want to thank you so much for being with us. I want to encourage you to stay involved, stay engaged, be a part of making a difference. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.